And for retention, you'll need to know Jalandharabandha. Jala means, Jala is a network. Sometimes it's interpreted as water, but that's a misinterpretation. Jalandhara means to press the network. In other words, in your throat, to close off the network of nadis in your throat. I'm not quite sure what all that means exactly, but that's what Jalandhara means. And oftentimes you're told to bring your chin down towards your chest. I think I've mentioned this already. This is not a good idea. The ideal is to bring the chin up toward the sternum. That's the first thing you want to do, is elevate the manubrium. We worked on that yesterday, if you recall. We put the block against the upper sternum here and lifted up from the lower tips of the shoulder blades. And that's the initiation of the movement right there. When you come into Jalandharabandha, you lift from the lower tips of the shoulder blades up to the top of the sternum bone to boost the manubrium up. That's also supported by that idea of lifting the base of the skull away from the back of the neck. So you're lifted from below and pulled up from above. And also when you release the base of the skull away from the back of the neck, that has an effect on the hyoid bone right here, right? Hyoid is a Greek word. It means U, like the letter U, because the hyoid is a U-shaped bone. And when you bring the chin down to the raised sternum, it's not so much you're bringing the chin down, you're sort of swiveling over the hyoid. So you boost up through the top of the sternum bone, and you draw the hyoid back up into the skull toward the atlas, bring the chin down onto the sternum. But you have to be very careful not to force the chin down onto the sternum. Do we have one of those rolls? You know what I mean? The wraps?
Yeah. Do we have any of the ace bandages?
Yeah, they're in the studio.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Can you grab one for us? Thank you.
So I want to show this about the chin thing. I made this thing called, it's another $1 million idea. It's called the Jalandhara pillow. And what it is a rounded, small little pillow sort of thing with two straps off the end, and you put it right here and you throw the straps over your shoulders, and that holds this in place. So in case you can't bring your chin down to your sternum, you rest your chin on the pillow so that you don't strain the back of your neck. I think that's going to be a really big seller. When I get around to producing it, I've only had it for 20 years. So that's very important. We're going to do hitting the numbers. Steve Young to Jerry Rice, very nice. Flash 80. So you could take one of these things like this, and you put it here in the shirt and put it down like that. Yeah. So you want to be careful, and I only want you to bring the head down into Jalandhara when you're doing the holding. When you're doing the breathing, bring your head up, just to be on the safe side. So, I'm also supposed to teach you Uddiyana Bandha, which I'm not going to do. I don't really see the point in that right now.
Why?
You have a regular practice?
Oh, no.
Well, then I don't see the point in that right now. Now, what I am going to do is show you how to firm the lower belly against the inhalation. But have a seat, just where you are. You sit in your asana cross-legged if that's your prefer. this is optional. You don't really have to do this. But if you want to try it, it's part of the practice, eventually. It's not very difficult. You just sit in a seat. Virasana, Sukhasana, whatever you like. And bring your fingertips on your lower belly. Now, the most important thing about this is, one of the most important things about this is that you've got to be able to distinguish between your lower belly and your upper belly. Your lower belly is below the navel, your upper belly is above the navel. And when we talk about abdominal control, you've got to be able to isolate the lower belly from the upper. You don't want to harden the entire belly. You just want to, firm here in the lower belly. Now, just close your eyes and just breathe. Just don't do nothing. And as you sit and breathe, you'll eventually feel the fingertips against your lower belly. And you'll eventually feel how the lower belly reacts when you inhale. And everybody knows that when you inhale, the diaphragm contracts and descends and pushes against the abdominal contents. The rectus muscle, which you've got your fingertips on, releases, and the belly bulges. Some bellies bulge more than others. On the exhalation, just the opposite happens. You firm the rectus, and the diaphragm releases and pushes back up against the lungs and pushes air out of the lungs. So feel the movement of the belly first. Inhale, puff, exhale, firm. Inhale, puff, exhale, firm. And then start to feel what it's like at the end of the exhalation when the rectus is firm. Just get a sense of that. And then as you're ready, when you inhale the next time, touch your belly in such a way as to not allow that lower belly to expand out on the in-breath. In other words, hold the firmness that you create during the exhalation against the inhale. But remember, you're just holding against the lower belly, not the upper. And what this is meant to do, it resists the descent of the diaphragm, which forces the breath up higher into the lungs. You want to feel how the breath is moving up to the upper lobes of the lungs, just above the collarbones. And as I say, this is optional. If you don't feel like you're ready to do this today, then I would rather you didn't do it. In fact, the same goes for retention. There's a couple of other things about retention that I'm not going to really go into because we don't have enough time. But for interior retention, just for your own personal understanding, this isn't well publicized. But when you hold a breath after an in breath, you want to take the rib case and contract it against the lungs. And at the same time, you want to lift the diaphragm up into the lungs. So you're really compressing the lungs during the retention. We won't go into that today. That's just for your personal information, for future reference. The next time I come back in 19 or in 2027, we'll work on that a little bit more. So why don't we? We only have a short while. So why don't we go back and sit on our sticky mats. Take whatever sitting position is comfortable for you, and lay your hands on your lap or your thighs. Remember, if you put your palms down, it tends to help ground the body. If you put your palms up, it tends to help lift the sternum. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Imagine your partner behind you as he or she was a few days ago. And he or she has his or her hands on your scapulas, pushing in, pulling down a bit. And then feel that hand on the sacred bone, pushing down through the tail into the floor. And then feel the hands on the lower back, along the spine, just above the roots of the diaphragm. Just feel the breath. Don't do anything in particular right now. You'll notice the torso, how it moves in rhythm with the breath. The torso expands and the spine lengthens. On the in-breath, on the out-breath, the torso contracts and the spine shortens. So the torso is working like a pump. The diaphragm is inside the torso like a cylinder, pumping up and down, pumping air in and out of the lungs. Rodney was talking about the nostrils yesterday, or maybe that wasn't right. You were sharing something about that. Notice where the breath is passing through the nostrils right now. It's not common What is common is that the breath will touch different parts of the nostrils. So for example, for me right now, my inhalation, my right nostril, the breath is touching on the upper right side, and my left nostril is touching the lower left side. My right nostril is dominant right now. Now go ahead and rest your fingertips in your lap and bring your palms in your lap and bring your fingertips to your lower belly as we were just doing. Just feel. Now again, this is optional. If you don't feel ready to do this and you don't really care to do this right now, that's perfectly acceptable. Just as long as you know that it's there for the future. Inhale. And you'll feel the belly expanding. The rectus muscle softens. And on the exhalation, it starts to firm. In and out, in and out, in and out. Now, if you care to, you can start to resist the belly a little bit on the inhalations. But remember, you have to focus on the lower abdomen. Let the upper abdomen stay soft as much as possible. I don't expect you to be able to isolate that muscle right away. Take the breath in. Take a reasonable amount. Don't pull in a great big inhalation. Just a nice inhale, just easy inhale. And then, as always, when you exhale, make sure the sternum bone stays lifted. So you maintain the length of the inhale as you're exhaling. And this is also optional. The retention is also optional. Take an inhalation. And as you near the end of the inhale, find the shoulder blades, lift them up and in, lower tips up and into the torso toward the manubrium, and swivel the chin over the sternum, over the hyoid, and bring the chin down toward the sternum bone. Again, don't force. Count to about 5. That's probably good enough for right now. And then let the breath out slowly through the nose, and bring the head up. Then you might want to do 1 or 2 or 3 normal breaths, and then try again. Please bring the head up after each Jalandhara Bandha, even if you're doing consecutive retentions. Start with the head up in the neutral position. So as you're near the end of the in-breath, again, the first thing to do is to boost the sternum bone, the manubrium. The second thing to do is to swivel the chin over the hyoid and bring the chin down. It's not even so much you're bringing it down, you're bringing it back slightly toward the lifted sternum. Hold, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then let her go, and then bring the head up at the end of the exhalation. If the breath comes bursting out of your lungs at the end of the retention, you've probably held either too long or you've taken too much breath. You should be able to release the breath very softly and gently. Now be sure, let's pay a little bit of attention to the lower back and see if you can find your partner's hands on your lumbar spine and if you can initiate your inhalations from that place. So the breath initially rises from the back of the torso until it reaches the level of the belly button. And then continues on filling the front and the back equally, all the way to the top of the collarbones. Boost the sternum. Bring the chin down toward the sternum. Hold 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then slowly exhale. Bring the head up. Try that a few more times. Very good. Very good. Be very careful when you retain the breath. There's no gripping in the throat and the tongue and the eyes and the inner ears. Very nicely done. Take one more inhale, one more exhale, let it go. Put your hands back on your knees or your lap. And just sit for a little bit and breathe and just see what happens. What is it like to retain the breath? It's a marvelous way to expand your ribs, open your chest. But it's got to be approached very carefully and with a lot of attention. Feel it. Very nicely done. Take an exhalation and cross your forearms over your chest and grab onto your shoulders. Give yourself a little hug. We'll start out with a nice hug. I'm going to read something to you on your as you're lying on your back. It's an exercise from a psychologist by the name of Roberto Assagioli. And it's sort of a witness. Somebody asked me about the witnessing, the witness. And this is an exercise that will help you find your witness. So lie on your back. Very short. First, get balanced. Feet, pelvis turned under, shoulder blades wide, palms turned up. Base of the skull releasing off the back of the neck. Relax the tongue, the eyes, the skin at the bridge of the nose, the wings of the nose. Let your body sink into the floor. Let the brain drop at the back of the skull. Turn your attention to your breath. Just watch a little bit. Throat very soft. See if you can turn the eyes down a bit. So follow along with this. Ready? I have a body, but I am not my body. I can see and feel my body, and what can be seen and felt is not the true seer. My body may be tired or excited, sick or healthy, heavy or light, but that has nothing to do with my inward I. Say this to yourself. I have a body, but I am not my body. No. Just to yourself. I have desires, but I am not my desires. I can know my desires, and what can be known is not the true knower. Desires come and go, floating through my awareness, but they do not affect my inward I. Say this to yourself. I have desires, but I am not desires. I have emotions, but I am not my emotions. I can feel and sense my emotions, and what can be felt and sensed is not the true feeler. Emotions pass through me, but they do not affect my inward I. Say this to yourself. I have emotions, but I am not emotions. I have thoughts, but I am not my thoughts. I can know and intuit my thoughts, and half of what can be known is not the true knower. Thoughts come to me and thoughts leave me, but they do not affect my inward eye. Say this to yourself. I have thoughts, but I am not my thoughts. Now listen carefully. I am what remains, a pure center of awareness, an unmoved witness of all these thoughts, emotions, feelings, and desires. Again, I am what remains, a pure center of awareness, an unmoved witness of all these thoughts, emotions, feelings, and desires. I have a body, but I am not my body. I have desires, but I am not desires. I have emotions, but I am not my emotions. I have thoughts, but I am not my thoughts. I am what remains, a pure center of awareness, an unmoved witness of all these thoughts, emotions, feelings, and desires. Start to wiggle your fingers and toes a little bit. I have one more thing to read for you. Stretch it out a little bit. And when you're ready, roll to your side and sit up. When you're ready, sit up and close your eyes. One more. Just to justify what you've just been through. Ready? If you persist at such an exercise, the understanding contained in it will quicken, and you might begin to notice fundamental changes to your sense of self. For example, you might begin intuiting a deep inward sense of freedom, lightness, release, stability. This source, this center of the cyclone, will retain its lucid stillness, even amid the raging winds of anxiety and suffering that might swirl around its center. The discovery of this witnessing center is very much like diving from the calamitous waves on the surface of its stormy ocean to the quiet and secure depths at the bottom. At first, you might not get more than a few feet beneath the agitated waves of emotion, but with persistence, you may gain the ability to dive fathoms into the quiet depths of your soul, and lying outstretched at the bottom, gaze up in alert but detached fashion at the terminal that once held you transfixed. I am what remains, a pure center of awareness, an unmoved witness of all these thoughts, emotions, feelings, and desires.
And who was that written by?
And that is a psychologist by the name of Roberto Assagioli, and you can find that online if you want to. And of course, the reference to the center of the cyclone was to the book by John Lilly. Everybody know John Lilly? You should. He was a body pioneer, explorer, a very interesting guy. Did a lot of experiments with LSD.
A couple thoughts, everybody. Could you keep it just a little quiet and I just want to review for you, okay, instead of you writing in your journal. Consider this. He said, I'm supposed to teach you retentions today. And in order to do so, we need to learn Jalan Dharabandha. That in itself should be a question mark for a while for you that you should try to understand and unpack what that means, okay? The second thing he says that is of great importance is that I'm not going to teach you Uddiyana Bandha yet until you have a daily practice. Did you gather that? The next thing that he's saying, even though he's not going to teach it, he teaches you a little bit about it. And that is you have to distinguish the lower belly from the upper belly. Yes, you got that? Then the other thing he's doing is in the exercise itself, he's applying Jalan Dharabandha during the retention. Do you understand? And then on the exhalation coming out, he's raising the head. And if it feels like that stirs up anything, then you take a couple of cycles of natural breath without doing anything. Again, back to the observer, yes? And then back to the inhalation, then the bowing of the head, then the retention, the exhalation coming out, and so forth, okay? then basically after a couple cycles of that, observing again how you feel, yes? So it's back to the lesson yesterday, observe, do something, observe. Okay, so he's actually giving you such important principles to practice that if you adhere to those, the practice will be safe. Do you understand? Because there are some dangers in the practice that he's teaching and the things that we've given him to teach, because unfortunately we don't have you for students as 10 years. So we want to give you a picture of the future a little bit of your practice, but only if you're diligent. Do you understand? And again, he always says, you're not a lesser human being for not taking these practices. But if you're going to take these practices, then these are the precautions and the preliminary steps you should take. The great thing about a really experienced teacher is they actually know a lot of times the pitfalls that you're going to fall into in your practice. Do you understand? And so if we're not going to be there when you are falling in the pitfall, then he's hopefully giving you already the things that you can look back in your journal and say, oh no, wait, I'm falling in this pitfall. And Richard already gave me some things to think about of how to get out of that hole. So we're sort of giving you 10 years of lessons, but in a week's time. And it doesn't mean you're supposed to complete all the lessons. You're supposed to use these as sort of directives. It comes back to something that's very important that Richard Freeman said. You know, he said, the instructions are the map, but they're not the territory. The map is not the territory. So we can give you a map, but still within the map, there's so much infinite amount of things that are going to occur. But the map will help you along the way. If you can comprehend that, these lessons that you're learning this week, the lessons that you learned this morning, will be unbelievable sort of reminders. A lot of the things I learned in India from my Yangar, I didn't get right away. And then I'd be practicing 2 or 3 or 4 years later, and all of a sudden, something would arise from what he said. When we were walking here this morning, I was singing Yesterday by the Beatles. Poorly and awkwardly. Not even in the shower, in the privacy.
I was walking behind, so I couldn't hear very well.
But Richard made a comment. He says, oh, don't you find it curious that sometimes you wake up and you're singing a song? Like, why that song and why that moment, right? It's interesting. Some of these gems that he's giving you hopefully will do that. You'll wake up one morning and you'll think, wow, Jalandhar bonded during retention. Why would he say that? So in some ways he's giving you a sutra that you have to create a commentary on. Do you understand? He's giving you a sutra and you have to unpack it yourself. And through your practice, you have to unpack it and try to understand the sutra that he's giving you.
The most important thing is to go slowly. Westerners, Americans are always in a hurry to get somewhere. We feel like if we put effort into some project or some practice, and we want to see results. We don't want to wait for the results to come down the pipe. We want to get there right away. The most important thing is the result. Prove that we're not wasting our time and energy. But you can't expect that from a breathing practice. It's a cyclical process. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. And then be able to persist even though it's going down. But you've got to be very careful again. This is both for you and your students when you teach breathing to them. And that is, stop when things go awry. It'll happen periodically. Stop, turn the page next day. If it persists over time, then you need to see some person that you trust, your teacher, and have him or her, talk to him or her about what's going on. things come up. Breathing is a very powerful transformational practice. You don't know what's going to come up if there's things in there that are hiding. So you have to be very careful with yourself and your students when you teach breathing. Just be patient. You have plenty of time. We're all very young looking people. It'll be a few years, even with regular practice. And the good thing about that is it gives you an opportunity to really explore your breath. Just find out who you are as a breather. Remember, you have a lot of different identities as a spouse, as a partner, as a child, as a parent, as a friend. But the most important, one of the more important identities that you have is as a breather. And so you really want to take some time to find out who you are, who the breather is. And again, that takes time and intense observation. With that intense observation, you become more conscious of yourself and the situations you find yourself in during the day. And that's what yoga is about. Yoga is attention training. It's this great novel. It's really more of a tract, a philosophical tract. It's called Island by Aldous Huxley. And one of the best things about this book is that it's this little utopia on this island isolated away from the rest of the world. And on it, they have these parrots that fly around the island. They say this every now and then. Attention! Attention! We should have parrots in here.
That's the only reason I sang yesterday out loud. So he paid attention.